Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come to your house, Lord. I thank you for just the week that you've given us this week, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning. Help us as we look at your word and just some truths out of your word, and as we give maybe some just a testimony of what you did on this trip and in my heart. I pray, Lord, that you just help us this morning. Thank you for the good folks here that are sitting in this room that have prayed for us faithfully this week. And I do thank you for them. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4 is an interesting, you know, we kind of pull out a few verses out of Philippians chapter 4, the well-known verses. You know, Philippians, what, 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." 4:8, "Finally, brethren," talks about your mind, the way we think. And we pull out a lot of verses, but Philippians chapter 4 is a lot of recognition for the Philippians and what they did for the Apostle Paul, okay? Because I think the church of Philippi was the church that when Paul was out being a missionary, they were behind him, supporting him. You see that in, I forget which verse it is, but "Notwithstanding ye have well done," verse 14, "that ye did communicate with my affliction." And then it says farther down, they're communicating with him as concerning giving and receiving. But then it says, "but ye only." These were the only people that when Paul was out, they were backing him as far as financially helping him. And I think that's very important. But in verse 17, it says, "not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And that's what I want to talk about this morning is the fruit that abounds to your account. We don't know all the Philippians here. We know a few of them. I don't know if it was pastor that said this not too long ago about how many people are mentioned that Paul mentions that were a help to him. It's like over 100 names that were mentioned that Paul said, you were a help to me. Or he mentions them specifically. And, you know, we all think of the Apostle Paul, but we sometimes forget about the host of other people that are behind the Apostle Paul, you know, helping him, you know, giving him what he needs, helping him get transported, those type of different things. So I just want to thank everybody, first of all, for your prayer. I want to thank you for, because I know that there are people praying, and I'm going to give a few things this morning that, you know, some of the just the neat things that's happened. You know, the Lord really allowed, it was interesting, and those of you that have been on youth trips can testify this. There's some things you just can't, unless you're there, you can't explain it, okay? It's just, I mean, it's pretty neat. But I want to do the best I can this morning to just tell you a few things that went on. And I want to thank you. That's kind of what I want to do this morning. And communicate to you the fruit that has abounded to your account this week. So we started off, you know, everybody know, you know, this week was a hot week. So it's pretty warm. You're stuck on a bus for, you know, 9 hours. And Lord just allowed, you know, it was comfortable. And these are the little things. Sometimes you don't understand, but, you know, people get testy when they get uncomfortable, okay? And I think everybody stayed comfortable. And it was just, the trip down was great. We made good time. Everything worked out wonderful on the trip down. We stayed at a camp, a campground. And it's interesting, this campground, it was a Church of God campground. It wasn't actually a Baptist campground, which I don't know that that really matters. But it looked like they had built it, and then they hadn't really maintained it for probably 10 years. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. Like, I always take tools with me, and it was really hard not to go fix everything for them. But it was good for our young people, because a lot of times we just go and we stay in a motel, and you know there's a comfort in staying in a motel, but when you're in a dorm room that's probably, or a dorm or a cabin thing that's probably, I don't know, it was probably 20 by 40, so 800 square feet. You're in 800 square feet area with, you know, 30 other guys, not including our group. You learn to develop a certain amount of patience and long suffering, and you know when they say lights are out, and you know our guys. And I will say this, and I'm gonna thank you all also, but our guys are wonderful, and our young people as a whole are wonderful young people. It's a blessing, and I want to thank the Abels and the Kleins, the Lovelesses and Bovenshins. There's others, but you're the ones in here. You know, the parents is what makes these trips. Whether you realize it or not, if we had to deal with the junk that I see other youth groups dealing with, it's so hard to spend the first five, you know, you got to spend the first 3 days of the conference trying to kill the flesh before you can ever start building the spirit. And it's a blessing that you can take a group of young people that, you know, yeah, we still have things that we got to deal with in our flesh, but it's refreshing to take a group of young people that you don't have to kill all that stuff. You can start, you know, the first night, you know, and I know that, you know, sometimes you see everybody on the front two rows up here just going forward and praying, and you think, well, they're just doing it because everybody else does it. Well, I would rather that happen than people sit in their pew for 10 years and they never budge. Because that shows to me, that shows a tenderness of the heart. That, okay, maybe it's, you say, well, Brother Chad, that's just an emotional decision. Well, it is a decision. And I still remember decisions that I made at camp, okay, or a teen conference. So I don't discount that. But it's refreshing when you look up and every one of the young people, the first night at the first invitation, every one of your young people, there's none of them left in the pew. And you look at some of the other youth groups, and it takes until the last night before anybody hardly empties out, okay? And that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And that goes back to the parents, honestly. And thank you. Thank you for training your children to do that. But just the different things, the things about the camp. You know, you've got other youth groups, and like I said, I don't have to worry about our teens, and that's a blessing. It's not like I feel like I got to babysit them. Sometimes you go to these things and it's like, oh man, I don't want to leave our kids because I'm not sure what they're going to do next. Okay, and it's a blessing to be able to go and say, hey, or they'll come up, hey, Brother Chad, can we go do this? And it's like, yeah, that's fine, and you don't have to worry about where they're at, what they're going to do, and that comes back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the training that you guys have put into these young people. And but we were with good groups, and I will say about this youth conference, overall, the spirit of the young people overall was very good. Not just our kids, but everybody. And I think my wife, you know, she was, the girls, the guys, it wasn't, you weren't fighting stuff all the time. And that's a big deal. So the camp was a blessing. It allowed us to make this trip cheap, honestly. And I'll just tell you, it cost us $75. $75 for a week of conference. That's three meals a day, lodging, everything for $75. And that's pretty cheap. That's real cheap. And, you know, it's good for our young people to be, you know, it's not a motel room. You know, I never did take a hot shower. But that's good. It's good for you in the morning to wake up with an ice cold shower. It's invigorating, that's for sure. And you don't have to worry about people taking a real long shower. You just, they get in, they get out. But they did take showers. We made sure they take showers. So, but thank you for praying about just the little things. The invitation, and I'll go probably over some of this other stuff tonight, but the services were good, and they're what our kids needed, and that's a big deal. I guess you kind of always go into these things because I don't know where all the kids are, you know, but I've got a pretty good idea about where most of the kids are. And there's some things it's like, okay, I know that they need to, you know, give this to God or you know, make some decisions here. And it seemed like all the messages just hit home, one right after another. And here's the other thing I wanted to talk about this morning is it's awesome going to a conference where pastor's preaching, okay? We go to a lot of conferences that pastor doesn't necessarily go to, okay? Or he's not necessarily preaching. But it's really neat going to a conference because what it does is it gives you an appreciation, because sometimes those people of us that stay home, at home, you're like, man, he's gone again. He's gone again. He's gone again. And I need to challenge everybody, don't ever get upset that pastor's gone. Don't get upset that pastor's gone. If you could go see what happens, how God, and it's all God, but pastor is a tool that God uses. And to see how God can use him to speak to the hearts of young people. And there's some things you can't describe. There's some things that you can't fully, and pastor tries to come back, and I think, you know, I don't want, on his part, you know, what is he supposed to do? Come back and say, well, you know, I did, you know, I preached a message and God did this. Because most people will think, well, you're just tooting your own horn, okay? So it's uncomfortable for him. But you know what? It's good for our teens, and it's good for me to sometimes go to these conferences and see that God is still using our pastor. And you know what? The Philippians got behind the Apostle Paul, okay? We don't know most of the Philippians' names, but they were behind the Apostle Paul. When Paul needed stuff, they were there for him. And I think we need to be that. Give our pastor the liberty to feel like he's not required to be here. He's not required. Okay, he missed a Wednesday night service, all right? But you don't realize what happened on that Wednesday night service, okay? Give your pastor the liberty to go do these things. And I'm going to get to the last invitation because that was probably the most amazing thing. But once again, the tenderness of the young people, the way that God just worked in their hearts was wonderful. I want to publicly thank Brother Jeff and Miss Mandy went with us. And I asked them too specifically, partly because Brother Jeff has a CDL. You don't realize how big a deal it is to have a bus driver. I mean, that is huge. I drove for like, I mean, we drove probably total time. I bet we were driving 25, 28 hours during this week, okay? We were on a bus. And I drove like three of those hours. And Brother Jeff drove the rest of them, okay? And you don't realize how big, you know, it's hard to drive a bus and be able to interact with the young people or, you know, just be there with them, all right? And there's sometimes I remember going to teen camp and the things that Pastor Jerry would say on the bus after the service was as big a deal as what was said during the service. And so I want to thank Brother Jeff publicly. I know he's not even in here, so but I do want to thank him for that. And it's everybody just coming together and saying, all right, whether you're here praying, or whether you're driving a bus, or whether you're, you know, helping, some of you helped pay for some of these young people to go, okay? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And I just want to thank you for that. The spirit of the young people, I mentioned that. The last invitation was interesting. I will say, I've only been, and some of you, I don't want you to, well, Brother Chad, that was just emotion. Okay, you can sit here in your seat and you can say, well, Brother Chad, that was just emotion. I beg to differ because I was there. I saw it personally, okay? The last invitation, Pastor preached a message on which of the twain. Now, some of you have probably heard that. He's preached it a lot, probably 10, 13 years ago. And he really hadn't preached it in a long time. But he talks about choosing between Jesus and choosing between Barabbas. And when you choose Barabbas, you turn your back on Jesus. When you choose Jesus, you turn your back on Barabbas. And that's a decision every Christian makes every day in every area of your life. You choose the world, you're turning your back on Jesus. You choose Jesus, you're turning your back on the world. And God really got into that service. And you know, there's the initial wave of young people that go forward. And then there was a group of boys that honestly, that was one of the groups that hadn't moved all week. I mean, maybe one or two, but as a whole, they hadn't moved. And God got into that, and God, I mean, they were broken. About not, you know, you could tell that they were a worldly, you know, worldly flavored youth group. Not saying that all of them were bad kids, just that's the way they were. And God got into that, and they started getting things right with each other, okay, which is a big part of revival. Listen, if there's conflict in our church, you will never see revival, okay? If there's gossip going on, if there's people at each other, you won't see revival, okay? Revival comes when people are united, and God got into that youth group, and then it was just like, I mean, you could sit there, and, you know, you could watch people, physically watch people fight with themselves. I mean, it was amazing. It's a blessing being on the other side where it's like, okay, God, I've got everything, you know, as far as I know, I've got everything right with you. And I can sit there and I can just watch. You know, you can watch people talking to themselves and be like, we were watching one girl and she wanted to go forward. She looked sick, like she was going to throw up. And she would shake her head and just, I mean, she was constantly fighting with herself. That invitation, I don't know for sure. I didn't look at the time. It lasted 45 minutes to an hour, just the invitation. Just the invitation. And people were going up. Brother Presswood was the youth pastor there, a phenomenal guy. I mean, you talk about a quick-witted, oh my goodness, he was so funny. And I mean, he just pulled things out. I mean, very quick-witted, but he loved his teens. And his teens, you know, you could tell that they, you know, probably didn't agree with them all the time. And they got right with their youth pastor. The girls got right with Miss Emily, his wife. it was amazing. I don't know how many people got saved. I mean, there was adults being saved. Okay, that's the type of thing. I can stand here and I can tell you, all right, and you're probably like, oh, that's boring. Well, that's part of your problem. That's part of Christianity's problem. They would be thinking about, you know, the ice cream that they're not getting because the invitation is taking too long. That's the problem with Christianity in America. Okay? It is. Instead of being like, what, God, why? This is what we ought to be thinking is, God, if you're speaking that way to all these people, why am I not feeling anything? That ought to be the question. If you're speaking and people are getting right with you that have problems, now listen, not everybody went up and it wasn't, you know, I think our young people, they're kind of like, this is the first thing they've ever been in like that, where the Holy Spirit is really moving. And they're like, you know, what's going on? But the blessing, like I said earlier, okay, you remember the story of the people, the Bible says to whom much is, I forget, it's not to whom much is given, but forgiven, those that God forgives the most are the most grateful, okay? Now, I believe that we brought in a good. I wouldn't say they're all godly, okay? I'm not godly most of the time. But we brought in a good group. I don't know why my mother-in-law laughed at that. She's just over there laughing when, I don't know. Anyway, we brought in a good group of young people. But there with the Holy Spirit, with my mother-in-law. No. Sorry, I had to do that. I haven't picked on her at all for a long time. But we brought in a good group of young people, and it's amazing, okay? And I think they felt, sometimes they feel like, but you know, if they're right with God, there's a peace that God gives you that, okay, I'm right with God. I'm right with God. And we had young people that rededicated their lives to the Lord, okay? I talked to the young people, and I think this is where a lot of our young people are. They're scared to surrender to God. They're scared. They want to because the Holy Spirit grips their heart. But you know what total surrender means? You don't have control. You know? Which one of our guys wants to go preach in Chicago? Okay. Why don't young people surrender to the will of God? The same reason most adults don't surrender to the will of God if you get serious about it. Well, I don't know what God's going to ask me to do, so I don't want to surrender. Then you're not. That's not total surrender. And I think some young people kind of got that this week and said, God, I'll go wherever. And you know, God doesn't usually, you know, some of the guys were talking this week, one-on-one, personal, and they said, Brother Chad, you know, everybody wants us to surrender to preach. Everybody thinks you can be a preacher. And I said, guys, the call to preach, you know, that's kind of like, or the call to be a missionary. Everybody says, you know, that's like, I want you to get this term. That's the holy grail of surrender. Okay, now think about this. It's not about when a young person comes up here and says, I feel like God wants to be a missionary. You know, I never hold that young person to the missionary thing. Okay, now think with me. You know what they're saying when they say, I surrender to be a missionary. I surrender to go anywhere and do anything. Okay, when a young man surrenders to says, I don't know what I need to do, but I'll surrender to preach, okay, that's a big deal. Because what is that saying? God, I am your tool, and I'll go where you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. And that's a big step of surrender, okay? And I don't get caught up about, you know, because I think some guys are like, well, if I surrender to preach, that's what I'm stuck with. I have to preach. Because then if I say, well, God doesn't want me to preach, then you know, does that make sense? I'm going back on what I said before. And I think some of them are like, I'm not going to say that unless I know that. All right? But we had some young people that surrendered, rededicated. And I want them to tell you with their own words what God did in their heart. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. We've had young people that have gotten some victory over some inner struggles in their family and in other things. And I praise the Lord for that. And what is that, Bro Chad? That's fruit that abounds to your account. Okay? I can't control what happens. You know, I don't go up to a young person and say, you need to get this right. No. I let the Holy Spirit of God do that. Okay? But the Holy Spirit has to have free reign, and the Holy Spirit has to be talking and so on and so forth. So, that once again, Bro Chad, it's hard to summarize. Yeah, you have no idea how hard it is to summarize. But I do want to say, back your pastor when he goes and does these things, because God is still using him. He's not preaching teen camps, and he has a peace. In some ways, after today, it's like, oh, come on, preacher. Can't you go do once in a while? Because God is still using him. So back your pastor when he goes to do these type things. I want to thank you for your prayer for our trip. I mentioned this a while ago, but on the way back, or on the trip, everything went great as far as the bus. You know, there's always kind of a certain fear when you take one of our church buses on an extended trip. Because, I mean, they're decent buses, but they're not road buses, okay? We don't take them on a long trip. And I want to give this testimony, and I may, if Pastor wants me to say something tonight, but I may say it again. But on our way back home, and my dad could stand and tell you 10 of these type of testimonies. But on our way back home, most of you probably got the prayer. Or, well, I don't know if they sent them. I don't think they did. Maybe. But we were delayed, and we stopped for lunch. Okay, this is how it all started. We stopped for lunch in Troy, Missouri, Illinois. I don't know, Troy something. And that's where we stopped for lunch, and all the kids are offloading the bus, okay? So me and my wife, you know, a lot of times we're the last ones off, and we're getting off the bus, and she says, I smell antifreeze. And I'm like, oh, boy. Because, okay, before we left Saturday night, I took the bus home. I don't know if I told you this. Saturday night, I took the bus home to check on some things, and the water pump was leaking out the weep hole on Saturday night before we left. So Sunday afternoon, me and Dad changed the water pump on this bus Sunday afternoon, and before we left Monday morning. So that's what I'm thinking. It's like, oh great, the water pump went out again. You know, it's a new water pump. Things happen. And I look under the bus, and you know we were standing there for 3 minutes maybe, and in that time probably over a gallon of antifreeze is dumping out on the parking lot. All right, nobody else knew. Everybody else had gone in to eat, so I'm standing there, okay, and I'm in the middle of, you know, $10 at a McDonald's with antifreeze all over the ground. And I'm like, so I look in the, I open the hood up, and I look, and it is the worst hose on the whole bus, okay? I mean, it's a 6-inch piece of heater hose, it's a bypass hose, and it is in the worst possible place that you can possibly, I mean, of all the hoses that could be bad, it was that one. Like, thank you, Lord. And so, of course, I get on my phone. We get on the phone, and I start making some phone calls. I always call back home because those are the numbers I have on my phone, to the parts stores back home. And I called them. Nobody could cross the hose for me because I couldn't just buy heater hose because it was a 90 and a 90. It was compound 90 and within 6 inches. So I couldn't just buy heater hose and route it. So my wife gets on her phone. I don't have internet on mine. And just coincidentally, there is an O'Reilly's a half mile down the road. Okay? Now, of all the exits that you get off of, how often is there a parts store half a mile. So that's a coincidence, I'm sure. So I go over there and I call them and I say, okay, this is what it is. They can't, you know, like most typical modern day parts stores, they don't have any idea what they're doing. And they can't, unless they have a, you know, it's on their computer, they have no clue. So I call them, you're going to have to bring the hose in. I'm said, well, you see, there's an issue with that. I don't have the hose off, and if I take it off, I have to put it back on before I go anywhere. So I'm just going to bring you my bus. So I drove the bus down there, and the guy tries to look it up. He can't find the hose. And I'm like, okay, well, can I just go back there and look? So me and him go back in the back. And of course, they got, you know, a wall of heater hoses, and we look through all of them. Nothing. No hose that matches. I'm like, okay. And then there's like a sudden inspirational thought just so happens. And probably it's the training. My dad is always, you know, you don't ever have the right part at 12 o'clock at night when the planner breaks down. So you just kind of, you know, make do. And we're like, okay, let's find one that we can cut a section out of that will work. Okay. Well, there is no section because it's such a small piece. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have to, I don't know what we're going to do. And then I'm like, well, what if we take two hoses and we'll splice them together and we'll make one hose, all right? So now we're on the search for two pieces. And they just so happen to have two pieces of hose that will work almost perfectly. So we get them, and then I'm like, all right, I just need a coupler to splice the two together, all right? And I'll put hose clamps on them. Guess what? No coupler for inch hose. I'm like, great. But it just so happens that there was an Ace Hardware 200 yards up the road. So we go to the Ace Hardware and we buy a close pipe nipple that just so happens to perfectly fit the hose. And so we go back and we're pulling out of the Ace Hardware and I'm looking around. Okay, it's 95 degrees, I think is what you said, 95 degrees. It's noon or shortly thereafter, 95 degrees, and we're in Illinois, okay? Farm ground, there's no shade, there's no canopies, so I'm going to be working on a 200-degree bus when it's 95 degrees out. You know, all the antifreeze is right at 185, 200 degrees. I'm like, I told her, I said, you know, it'd be really nice to have a shade tree. So we're like, oh, well, we'll just do it, you know, tough it out. So we drive back to the McDonald's, and just so happens that right beside the McDonald's is a bank that's closed, and there are two shade trees right there. So we whip in there, and we pull it off, and we cut the lines, put them all back together, put it all back on, and we were back on the road within 2 hours of that. Yeah. Now, you may say, well, that's all coincidence. Yeah. There was a lot of other exits that could have happened on. It could have happened 20 minutes earlier, okay? And as fast as that was pumping out of there, we would have lost a lot of antifreeze real fast, all right? And then, so I'm kind of, all right, my heart's full. Well, the Lovelaces had gone over to Branson to watch the Samson Sight and Sound, which was cool. I forgot the roller coaster part. I'll go back to the roller coaster part. That was pretty neat. Well, they had passed us, I guess. I didn't know this till after the fact. They had passed us. You know, we're disabled on the side of the road, and they just, you know, drove on past. Now, they didn't know we were there. He's sick today. So they blew past us. No care about, you know, all the hot kids on the bus. No, they were all at McDonald's. So they blow past us. Well, in Effingham, I don't know if you saw the radar yesterday, but I think it was around Effingham. I mean, they got hammered yesterday, okay? And if we would have been 2 hours farther down the road, I mean, they were people pulling over because you couldn't see to go down the highway, okay? Well, I just wonder, okay, sometimes you get frustrated with the will of God, as far as paying. We're not on our time schedule, but what would have happened 2 hours down the road if that wouldn't have happened then?
And then we're you know, we've been spending a week on a just the little, these are the little things that God works out. You know, we're spending a week on a 9,500 degree bus, and then, you know, so we get back on the road. I'm all hot because I've been working on this bus, sweaty, and we get back on the road. Well, that storm front that had gone through, it dropped the temperature so much that we shut all but like two of the windows on the bus. I mean, the guys were putting their hooded sweatshirts on, okay, on the bus. And just the little things like that, that God says, all right, here's your plan, and then here's my plan. And it's not about, sometimes in life we get to these places where it's like, God, this isn't the way I had it planned. And God says, it's okay, just, you know, go with what I have, and you'll find out later on that it really was better than what it would have been if, you know, I had my itinerary that we didn't keep. And it's just amazing how God works all those things out, how God, you know, has his fingers in every little, because listen to me, I've been on enough of these youth trips, and most of you have been on enough trips that when you stop at an exit, okay, there are no parts stores like that. I mean, you're talking at least 6-7 miles before you get to a parts store, okay? That just stuff doesn't happen. And I want to give glory to God for that, because that's who deserves that. I want to thank my dad, because he taught me all that stuff. My dad's the one that would take spare tires on bus trips with him. And, you know, he would have 3 toolboxes in the back of the bus. And, you know, it's nice when people drive up. You know, we had several guys drive up and say, hey, do you guys, what's going on? You guys need help? And, you know, I've got 14 boys around me. We're all, you know, they're all helping or trying to help. And it's just a blessing. And, you know, the dads, Brother Abel, you know, his boys are up there handing me tools. And, you know, that's a blessing. And I want to thank my dad for teaching me those things. And, Brother Abel, for teaching your boys. And don't give up on this younger generation. They're the cream of the crop, okay? There ain't another youth group that was at that conference that would be out there working on their bus to get it back on the road, okay? And thank you for those that have invested in the next generation and have taught them. Now, I do want to also thank you. This is probably the biggest thing I want to thank you for, is that I did not die on the roller coasters, okay? I have not been on a roller coaster since I was probably 6-7 years old. So, and I about died when I was on that roller coaster. So I'm getting on these roller, all the teens are, of course, come on, Brother Chad, you got, I'm like, you guys are nuts, okay? And we go to the Silver Dollar City, and here again, it's just the little things, okay? It's 95 degrees, over 90 degrees in an amusement park. Now, some of you that have been to amusement parks, all right, you typically your lines, all right, are really long. We never had to wait more than one cycle on the roller coasters to get in to ride the roller coasters, okay? That's pretty cool that you can do that, that you can just go. I mean, most of the kids, if they wanted to ride it a couple times, they could ride it and go right back and ride it again. And they did, which is nuts, okay? I mean, when you're sitting on a roller coaster, okay, and they strap you in, and your whole life is dependent on that thing holding on, okay, that's a scary feeling, all right? I'm not lying. And okay, and they got this new one. It's called like the Time Traveler. And you're sitting on it. And as it's going on this roller coaster, you're going upside down. It's also spinning like this. Okay? So half the time you can see the track. Half the time you're facing backwards looking at where you just came from. So you don't know what's next. Oh my goodness. And then the kids are like, that was awesome. Let's do it again. I'm like, God bless you. I'll watch. All right. But it was fun. And once I kind of got past my nervousness, it was good. So thank you that I didn't die on those, and I didn't puke over everybody. So that was good. I love our kids. I love, well, your kids, not really my kids, but it's so refreshing to be with them. It's so refreshing that you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning with the young men, and you don't, which my body was still on Indiana time, which they're an hour behind us. So like 7 o'clock here is 6 o'clock there. Well, my body is still on Indiana time. So, you know, I'm waking up an hour before. I woke up 5 o'clock every morning. All right. We didn't have to be anywhere until 8. But 5 o'clock, I'm laying in my bed, wide awake. And I get up out of bed, and I don't go shake anybody. And almost every morning, most of our guys got up without me waking them up, got dressed in the dark. We had a flashlight pointed at the ceiling. And they went out and they read their Bibles, and they walked with God. Young ladies that did the same thing. They didn't go out, but you'd see them they wouldn't eat breakfast until they read their Bible. Okay. If there's that with our young people, what's wrong with our heart sometime? And we've got good young people. We've got crazy young people. Adria is sitting behind me on a roller coaster. And she's so sweet, Brother Abel. She's sitting behind me, and she wouldn't open her eyes, okay, on the roller coaster. And she's got her head turned. Because I looked back at her, and she's got her head turned sideways. She wouldn't open her eyes. And I was praying. The whole time, this is so funny. The whole time she's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I mean, the whole roller, which kills me. Okay, you stand in line for 3 hours for a 30-second roller coaster. Why do people do that? I don't get that, but we didn't. But she gets off the roller coaster, okay? She's got this huge smile on her face. She's like, let's do it again. What? Why do you do that to yourself? Okay, but it was good. All the young people, and here's the thing, don't give up on them. Okay, they made some decisions, and back them up on those decisions, and keep them in your prayer, because, you know, this week was kind of the starting point on some other things. So don't give up on them, and, you know, the fruit that has abounded this week, that goes on your account. Because stuff that happened this week doesn't happen without a group of people back there saying, God, I would go if I could. I can't go, but I'll pray for those that did. So I want to thank you. Thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, this is kind of an overflow of everything that's happened. Lord, I didn't know what else to talk about. So thank you for all that you did in my heart this week. Thank you for the young people. Thank you for our pastor. Pray that you just continue to help them, continue to use them. Thank you for the people here that have just backed us and has spent money and has spent time. And Lord, I thank you for them. Pray that you bless them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen.